I was asked this week that someone was watching the video, and they said, "Where's all the people?" I said, "Well, they're out there." And they said, "We don't see any people." And I realized that the table's further back. And it's like, "Where's the people?" You know, and what was that old thing? "Here's the steep, where's the people?" Anyway, remember that old thing? Yeah. Anyway, it's like I couldn't figure out until I just said it. And it's like that table's further back than it used to be. And so they were looking for the people. It's amazing what people look for in church service. But I was asked that. I thought, that's what they're saying. They don't see any people. And they hear people, but they don't see them. I thought, so we'll move you guys up a little next time. We'll dub them in. Okay. So, but that, I thought, it's, and I don't think about that, but people do when they're watching. So just little things. So that's why I was looking for a moment thinking, what are these? And it's like, that table used to be up a little bit. That's all. Just a minor thing that wouldn't even cross my mind. So anyway, yeah, we'll fix that. No problem. Back in the old days, when we were more, well, we're still interested, but there used to be a big game in the latter Cold War days where you tried to fool the Russian satellites just like they tried to do ours. And these satellites, we don't realize now today it's even much more refined, but even in the latter part of the Cold War, you could focus the satellite and you could see an amazing, license plate numbers. And so we used to, in these training camps, when guys were training for a specific special ops mission, you didn't want that filmed. So what you would do is, perhaps you were training to take, you were going to have to take some facility. And you had, so what you do, unlike the movies, you don't send them in. You spend a lot of time running through that facility, and you get it as to scale as possible and so forth. Used to put up mannequins, and they put up mannequins and stuff, and so the facility you might be training on at night, in the daytime, you'd make it look like a little school. And they'd put mannequins and move the mannequins and the cars in the parking lot around so that the Russian satellite passes, to them it would look like a little school and everything was switched around because they got analysts watching everything. And there'd be these mannequins walking and little kids playing, and you move them all around the play yard and stuff. So all that stuff used to go on so that on satellite you could spoof them. And they would try to do that to us. Anyway, you say, why are you saying that? I have no idea. It just hit me all of a sudden. What really brought it on was, we can spoof them a little bit and put some mannequins up here and just move them around a little. And some of you, maybe we can tie a string to them and you can pull an arm or something. That's too far. Sorry, folks. Anyway. That's what happens when you've done this work too long. I mean, you really get out there. Let's read over in 1 Peter chapter 1. And it's really appropriate for where I just went with that in my mind. But, it says, to prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. And every bit of scripture we read is important. But this one, grab hold of this because this kicks people pretty hard. This causes many a Christian to fall short, to fail, to have issues, because they're not really paying attention. This is a New Living Translation. You may have another translation. That's okay. You may be following along on your little tablet or whatever, but that's all right too, and something else. But I'm using New Living for this one out of 1 Peter 1. So it says, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live. Yeah, there you go. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. This is pretty tough stuff here. But it's straight to the point. And then he says, you didn't know any better then, before you knew Christ, is what he's saying. So you did those things. But he's saying, don't slip back into them now. And so, you know, we'll get into this. And that's why he started off. You're going to have to prepare your mind for action and exercise self-control, because the enemy, your devil, he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom it can devour. Well, he's trying to get you to drop back into those old patterns and trap you again. And so he's saying here, you know, that you, we can't afford to let that happen. So live as God's obedient children. And you said you didn't know any better then, but now, what does he say? He says, now you must be holy. And listen, we don't grasp this. This is important. He said, you must be holy in everything you do, not just on Sunday morning, everything you do. Just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And this is a powerful text. And if there's anything that I've seen consistently, and in my own life, especially when I was younger in this work, it was this business, we'll go back up to verse 13, of preparing your mind for action and exercising self-control. There's probably not many of us in this room that can say we've never lost control. Okay? I mean, have you ever gone to the point where, I mean, it's like you come back to yourself and you don't even know for sure what you said or did? Have you ever lost control that far? Okay? Thank you. One has. You know, and you just say a bunch of stuff and do a bunch of stuff, and then you look at yourself later and say, what happened? And the first part of this is what happened. He tells you to have self-control. He said you have to prepare your minds for action. And what he's talking about there, he said you're going to have to discipline your mind to the point to where it can never, ever get carried away with emotions. See, it's not rational thinking. It's not Holy Spirit moving. It's not the Word of God telling us to lose control. It's when we allow our emotions to yell more loudly than our head, than our mind. And it's literally, you know, being out of control is what? Literally. It's losing your mind temporarily. You've lost your rational thinking. You've lost your mind. And so, loss of control, and we've all done it. I mean, just blown up. I mean, have you ever just beat the dickens out of an inanimate object and taught it a lesson that it'll never forget? I watched my dad do it many times. I've seen him beat up tractors, and he taught them a lesson, buddy. I mean, and he'd grab a wrench or a pipe and just hit that tractor and hit it, and it's like, I bet that tractor will never do that again, Dad. I bet you got its attention this time. And then inevitably, you know, you're smacking and swinging. And then what happens? You end up and you rip a fingernail. Yeah, you bust your knuckles. And now you're even more mad. And you hit it harder. And it just, you know, it just, and it's like, that is temporary insanity. And what he's saying here is the devil loves that and God doesn't. And God wants us to think clearly. So first of all, you say, okay, you know, it's, and this is one of the arguments, not arguments, this is one of the things that grates on my nerves with a lot of preaching and teaching, always has, and in scripture or anything else. You tell people what they ought to do or ought not to do, and you don't tell them how to do it. There's nothing worse than saying you need to improve your life, okay? And then somebody just walk off, okay. And now it's what you hear in a lot of messages, you know, and you oughta, shoulda, woulda, coulda. How do I do it? So we try to focus here on a lot of how-tos and give you some things to work with. So you say, how do I keep my thinking clear? I'm going to have to learn to think with Scripture before I think with my feelings. When something happens, the first thought that I need to allow, and it takes practice and it takes knowing Scripture, but it's to allow the Scripture to say to me, what does God want me to do about this? How does God want me to respond? And if I can thank God before it, they, them, me, then I've got that thing licked. But if I let it, they, them, get before God, I'm defeated. You think in your own life. If you can think scripturally, that your mind's prepared for action. You know, yeah, you're going to have to read the Word of God. You don't have to memorize the whole Bible, but you need to be acquainted with it. The Holy Spirit can bring it to remembrance. And when something catches you off guard, something happens, and the Scripture is prominent in your mind, your mind is prepared for action. Secondly, think with discipline. Discipline. I'm reading through the Hornblower series. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Horatio Hornblower. You know, he's saying, no, Tony, we don't want to be. You are. Good for you. So, you know about the Hornblower series. And if you ever get a chance, you'd have to order it. Is it a Christian book? No. No, it's not a Christian series. But it's leadership. And Gregory Peck was in that movie, you know, Horatio Hornblower, and you hear that and you say, well, it's great because it's historical. It talks about the days of when England ruled the seas in the big sailing ships, the ships of the line, and they opened their ports and they fired their cannons and all the intrigue and stuff. But it deals with Captain Hornblower, who starts out as a little midshipman. That would be like an ensign today in the Navy. And how he works his way up. It's what? I think like 12 volumes. I don't know, 12, 14 volumes. It's a long series. So, what it deals with is not just the naval action and all the food that they ate and biscuits with weevils in them and all that kind of stuff, you know, but it gets down to the development and the struggles of a man inside himself. It's worth reading and how we all go through that. He has to be the stoic captain of the ship. Inside, he's struggling with, is this the right decision? What should I do? What if I call the wrong decision and I get all these men killed? And that inner struggle versus what is on the outside. And you say, where's this going with this passage? What it focuses on is the only way to master yourself is to have discipline of thinking. And when his thinking would start going too far in the doubting arena, in the worried arena, he became conscious enough of those inner thoughts to stop himself and not allow himself to spiral into the abyss like a lot of us do. He had self-doubts. I'm at the point now, I'm in about the 9th or 10th book, and he's a commodore, so he has captains of ships under him, and he's gone all the way up, and he still struggles with this, and keeping his, you know, outward appearance, but inside he's learning to match what he's been, you know, remember we talked a few weeks ago about that presenting person? That's what he's done all of his career. Now he's learning to become real in here because he's mastering his feelings that have always been negative and nagged at him. Now, this isn't a message about Captain Hornblower, but you learn, you know, we learn, and I love books that go into the struggles of a human being and the wrestling match. You know why? Because I know I'm not alone, and we all struggle with it, but then constantly coming out in this, and his leadership, and he's a great leader, captain of a ship. But he struggles inwardly with self-doubt constantly, but he overcomes it with thought discipline. He set, in other words, boundaries. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. Listen to this. God wants us to have boundaries in our thinking to where we will, when we hit that wall, we'll not let that thinking go past that. We pull ourselves back and discipline our thoughts. Because listen to me. We talk about the devil lying to people. So does the world. So does nearly any news station you watch. Is there anybody out here in public, I mean, you know, in public, in the secular world not lying to us? Think about it. So it causes us to doubt everything. And I have people beginning, you know, and they're being honest, and I appreciate their saying, you know, there's so many lies. It's causing me to I'm beginning to even doubt God. And that's what the devil wants. And we have to discipline ourselves to disassociate what people are doing from God. And if you're not careful about what you watch and what you listen to, and not, don't let your thoughts run away, because I've heard many people I've been seeing and talking with here of late, they express this thing, just the whole world's full of lies, there is no truth. And it's like, oh, discipline yourself. Stop that thinking. Jesus already spoke to that. He said, have no confidence in the flesh. So he told us already not to do that. And then I think maybe a lot of this stuff has been happening because we didn't listen to it. We put too much confidence in the flesh instead of the Lord God Almighty who made this flesh. And we have to discipline our mind. And when it goes too far, and when you're about to have that spell, let the Word of God well up and say, what would God do? Would God hit this tractor? Would God cuss that person? For me, would God yell at somebody on I-10? It's like, does there hardly ever a trip down 10? You don't yell at somebody? Not many. And so I have to bring messages like this and embarrass myself and have to admit, Tony, you struggle with this too. You know, do they hear me? I mean, how insane is that? Your blood pressure's flying up through, you know, your hair standing on end, and you're just, and you're letting them have it. They're a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles down the road, but man, you're just putting it to them. You know that when you catch up down the road, they're going to be there wrecked on the side of the road, totally destroyed by what you told them. And when you think about it, see, that's a constant test, and that's what the Lord, you know, reveals to me is, I'm testing you. I'm challenging you to be disciplined in your thinking. You've got to have clear thinking, and with that, self-control, if you're going to be who I've called you to be. And so I have to let the Word of God guide me, the Scripture, think with Scripture, think with discipline, as much as possible. Let the Word of God guide me. But listen to this. Listen to this. If you do that, there's something that we skip in Christianity and way too much. God has given you intelligence. And He's combined with that past experience. If you let the Word of God and the discipline of thinking and your intelligence, God-given wit, intelligence He's given you with experience, if you let God bring that together, He can keep you on that straight and narrow path. I look at my experiences and it's like, Tony, how many times are you going to have to repeat some of these things in life before you learn? You have experience and you have a brain. And Christianity has kind of, in a way, tried to eliminate the brain of man. And God incorporates the Holy Spirit's working with the God-given intelligence. He's made you intelligent. He's given you experience. We call that what? Wisdom. He gives you godly wisdom, but you get wisdom also from the things you experience. Good or bad, do you not? And you let God bring that together, so that you have clear thinking and self-control. That's what he means when he says, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come. And we'll talk about that in the next step. But listen, friends, how do you do it? I get in the Word. I've got to let God's Word, wherever your weakness is, if it's temper, if it's saying bad words, if it's bad thoughts, read those scriptures immediately, now, beginning today, that apply to your area of weakness. So that when you're tempted in that area, that Word of God overcomes that temptation. Is everybody with me? Okay. I want to be sure. I know this is kind of a driving, little bit tougher here, but you've got to let God discipline your thoughts. Listen, I look at our present government, everything around us, federal government, state, and all I see is people not disciplined in their thinking, who are so caught up in covering one lie with another lie with another lie, their emotions are completely ruling them, and there is no intelligence, no wisdom, no common sense. There's nothing disciplined anymore. I would love and pray God to put people in office who are really leaders, God leaders, who present to us an anchor, something concrete. When you flip on the TV, they're speaking and you have confidence again. I pray for that. I pray for it in every church. And I'm telling you I do, because too many churches are being led, if you want to call it led or pastored or something, by guys. I wonder, my goodness, does your mother help you tie your shoes every morning, son? They just act that way. You know what I'm saying? They don't act like they don't give people inspired confidence. Everybody's going, yeah, all the music's great, and they're jumping up and down. But you look at that person that's supposed to be the leader and say, could I follow that person? And you say, Tony, you could be condemning yourself. I realize that. You have to look up here and say, can I believe in him? Can I follow him? Do I believe he knows what he's talking about? Is his faith firm in his soul? Is his discipline thinking? I pray so. If it's not, pray for me hard. So let me wrap this point up with this. Pray, think, and analyze. Analyze. And put those emotions under the blood of Jesus. There's a time to have feelings, but it's after I've prayed and analyzed it. It's after God's Word is prominent in it that I can feel. This will help you a lot. This is practical stuff. Emotions, listen, boy, emotions create a loss of self-control. And if I lose control, what do I do? That's the worst thing of all. I grieve the Holy Spirit. And He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, because you're sealed in Him to the day of redemption. So clear thinking allows the Holy Spirit to give me that self-control to overcome my emotions. And when, listen to me. This is important. Now I'm talking to you from personal experience in this. When your emotions are put under the blood of Jesus, and Jesus Christ is controlling your mind, and I know we're human, that 100%, that's when He comes again. But we can get pretty close. And when He's doing that, then you'll have the discipline and self-control, listen to me, to know when to turn the other cheek, to know when to speak, to know when to keep silent, and most importantly, you'll know when to just walk away. That's what Jesus did. There's times Jesus spoke. He spoke to heal. He spoke to help. He spoke to correct. He also spoke to discipline. And there are many times that Jesus said nothing. And when they arrested Him and He was brought, when they brought Him up, what did He do? He kept silent. It was not the time to speak, because God was doing His purpose, His thing. You would think of all times when, you know, there you are. You're right there before the man who can let you go. And he said, no, won't you speak for yourself? He didn't say a word. You know why? Because he wanted God's will to be accomplished. And he didn't want to say a word. He just knew what to do at the right time. And I'm going to tell you something. When you believe in Jesus Christ, He is living in you through His Holy Spirit, and He can do the same thing with you. He'll show you when to be silent, or to turn that cheek, or when to speak out. And He'll show you when it's time to just politely turn around and walk away. A whole lot of problems in churches, in homes, man, could be avoided, could be healed if we just learn those principles. And it comes through that clear thinking and exercising self-control. That's what will happen when you get the Word of God in your heart and you let God's Word flow out. Anyway, I know I'm hitting that first point so hard, but that's why it's the first point. And it's so important. And then he said, look forward. Look forward. Listen, friends, listen to me. I can't emphasize this enough. If you keep looking back at what's happened to you, you're going to keep falling over what's happening now. You can't see what God wants for you and how God is working in your life if you keep looking back at what you've done. Everybody with me? Everybody in this room has failed in something. Maybe some of you failed in more than something. Has anybody failed in several somethings? Okay. Thank you. Okay. And it's so easy to beat yourself up looking back and say, those areas, or to say, I'm afraid to do, I've heard this so many times, I'm afraid to do that again because I failed in it before. You know what my response is? Now you're more prepared to succeed in that than you've ever been because you've learned what doesn't work, now apply what does work. Instead of beating yourself up over it, did you learn something from it? Oh, yeah. Then did you learn what not to do? Yep. Did you learn some things that you wish you would have done? Yeah. Do them now. Do them now. Why do you think God lets you experience that? But He doesn't want you walking and here in this life with your head back over your shoulder and you're falling over everything that everybody else is saying. Well, that was so obvious. I knew that they were going to mess up. Yeah, because they're looking back. What did Paul say about this in Philippians? He said, this one thing I do, I've learned to do what? Forget. Quit looking at what's behind and press on to what lies ahead to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so can you, every one of you. Let it go. There's times things come to my mind. I do. We all do that. Do you ever, just for no reason, you just find yourself rehearsing something awful? Why are you doing that? Sometimes we're like cows. We just got to chew our cud. You know, we just sit there and just chew on the past. Why are we doing that? Because we're geared to do it. The enemy loves it. Our flesh craves it. And we just, you know, but I'll do it myself. I've done it just reading the Bible, maybe working on a message, and you know, you're sitting there, and suddenly you come out of it and think, I was thinking when I tried to preach a message similar to this, and really things like that, and it didn't go over very well. I don't know if I want to preach on this again, and there's the Lord saying, well, that's what I've given you. Did you learn from that other thing? Yeah. Well, you going to trust me in this? Why is it that because we failed in something, we're afraid to ever try it again? Now you've learned about it. Things happen. I was an infantry officer, and we were, you know, I was on a little deal at Fort Knox, and you know, you go to infantry officer basic course for the young lieutenant. But one of the funniest stories, one of the funniest things that happened, there was a tank officer. We always thought that we called them treadheads, and so. If you were a tanker, you know, so they call us grunts and other things that I can't say in public. But this treadhead lieutenant was training in the basic course, and he was running his tank out across there. Well, one of the basic things that you have to learn with a tank, of course, it's got a big gun in front, right? If you're going to traverse a ditch, you traverse the turret and float it back behind you. Or bad things can happen. Well, young lieutenant is watching his little platoon and he's in training. And he's trying to be a good lieutenant and he forgot to order his gun traversed. So when the tank comes down to cross the ditch, the barrel of that big gun just goes into the bank on the other side and his tank is just pivoted. And I've always wondered, nobody ever said what happened to him. Now, after, of course, he didn't have any skin left on his body after some colonel finished him up. But I was thinking, if they let him stay in, and I hope they did, but my thought process was this. He wrecked many thousands, tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. But he will be one of the most conscientious tank commanders they ever produced as a result of that if they'll let him stay in. See, we punish people sometimes too much instead of helping them to learn from their mistakes. Don't you think he'll be very conscientious and detail-oriented after that? Yeah. For us, you didn't get a repate. If you messed up that parachute, if you didn't do a thing just right, you generally didn't get to try it again. So, you know, if you got your reserve out in time, you might. You know, you had 9 seconds. You had 9 seconds to pop a reserve and combat jumping, or it was all over but the crime. But we made mistakes. That's why you had such extensive training in those days, and you made your mistakes and you blew it there. And in those days, they could hit you upside the head on your helmet, and you just get a blow upside the head in your helmet. And you learned from your mistakes, and you became very conscientious, detail-oriented, paying attention so that you didn't kill yourself or somebody else. Listen to me, friends. Listen. Many of you, everybody in this room has made mistakes. You've sinned. You've fallen short of the glory of God. God disciplines you. He didn't punish you, but He disciplines you. It's kind of like bopping you upside the head and saying, that can kill you. Instead of sitting here grieving over that, this is the message this morning. Get your head clear and get that thinking right. And look forward to the grace of God in Christ Jesus that's coming. You already have it. Instead of grieving over the mistake you made, ask God to forgive you and accept that forgiveness and get your head turned around and look forward and use that experience back there, whatever it was. Use that experience to succeed today and use it to help other people succeed. That is the whole meaning of life, is to learn God's Word, understand God's will, to follow that, and learn from my mistakes and my sins. Let God teach me, and then use that to help other people. And that's one of the big reasons I have to maintain self-control. Because I need to be always ready to help somebody else. Everybody listening? I mean, I know this is pretty deep, but it's just good stuff. So let me wrap this up. There's only one. Okay. I'll do it quick. What time is it? I will do it quickly. So we're talking about clear thinking and self-control and this whole title of this message is set apart. We're set apart to be holy. Holy. That's what the word holy means. Set apart. And to be holy to God means set apart to God. So we've got to be different with this clear thinking. We've got to think different, react different. We got to be, listen, you know the words, but it's proactive. Proactive. I look at all this big ice storm we went through and all the whole problem we had. You know what was wrong there? Nobody was proactive. We're being reactive. The horse is out of the barn and now you're closing the door. Be proactive. Clear thinking. What ifs? What if? We hope for the best, but we prepare for anything. So, let me give this other point. There's actually two, but they're short. Isn't short for you. That's long. Okay, anyway. He wants us to look forward to Jesus' grace. And keep, when for looking forward, it keeps me from stumbling over things. I'm looking out here clear. I'm learning from my mistakes. I have a God who forgives me. What's my problem? What's your problem? And then live as God's children. How do I live as God's children? With His grace. With His love. With His power. You with me? Quit fighting God's goodness. Accept it. Don't fight God's blessings. If God wants to give you a blessing, stop arguing with Him. I've actually seen people do this. Maybe you're one of them. God gives you an opportunity and you hesitate. I don't know. I had that opportunity back when and I failed. Yeah, now you learned, and that's why He's offering it again. Man, you look at all the old great home run hitters. Yeah, I'll tell you what they don't publish, but you can find it. You look at Babe Ruth, you look at all of them. And what you'll find is they struck out more than they hit home runs. But they were always swinging for the fence. You look at how many times those guys, when you look at Bruce, and I know somebody broke his record, but I thought it was a cheat, so I don't go there. But anyway, you can't take steroids and call it fair. That's the way I am. But that old boy did it. But I'll tell you something. If you look at how many times that guy struck out, so do we. Every one of you are the same way. And here's what's happening to a lot of you. You get up, and I'm sorry, ladies, but you know, but you get up to the plate, and because you struck out a few times, you're afraid to go for the fence, and so you just kind of want to put the bat out there and tap it. That's not what God says in His Word. You know what God says in His Word in Christianity and Christian living? When you step up to the plate in God's kingdom, you always go for the fence. You swing at that sucker. You give it all you got. Everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. I mean, you do it in His power, in His love, in His grace. We don't stand around bunting. We don't stand around hoping it'll just tap off the bat. Swing that sucker. Live in life. Life is what meant to be swinging for the fence and go for it. You won't always make it. You'll foul some things up in the air. Yeah, you'll knock one to the left out of the bleachers and off to the right. But I want you to know something. When you do connect, that's the sweetest feeling in the world, is when you come around and you feel that sweet spot on that bat and your wrist turns over and you see that ball, that little sphere going through. Listen, that's what Christian living is about. Swing for it. Focus on it. Clear thinking. I used to do all kinds of things when I was playing ball, pitching especially. Stuff to make them watch me. Why? Because I don't want them watching the ball. If I could ever get a batter watching my antics or trying to figure, he was not going to watch the ball. And if it's when you watch the ball that you can hit the ball. And that's what the old devil tries to do. He tries to get you tied up in all your emotions and you're not watching the right thing. You got to watch the ball and go for the fence. Step into it. Hit it hard. Thank you. It's true. It's really true. Hit it with everything you got and quit looking back. Look forward. With grace, live as God's children. God, listen, God's children know that their Father God is the one and only God. They know that Jesus Christ is the one and only Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He rose again the third day. He is sitting right now at God's right hand and He's speaking up and interceding for us. Live like that. When you ask Jesus in your heart, He adopted you into His kingdom. He gives you. It says we are heirs in Romans 8. We are co-heirs with Christ. So we have God's grace, God's love, God's power, God's goodness, God's righteousness, God's peace. And I'll tell you what else we have. His provision. He'll provide everything, all of our needs. And I'll tell you what. And He says He'll do it in abundance. Give and it'll be given unto you. Press down, run over without measure. That's what He says. But I'll tell you something else we have, and it's time to remember it in this day and time. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. So, the words you've been waiting for, in closing. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy, for the Scriptures say, you must be holy, because I'm holy. And that word in the Greek means set apart. Set apart to God, like I've already said. You belong to God. You have a holy purpose. And He said, in everything you do, be set apart. As it said in Old Cool Hand Luke, get your mind right, Luke. Get your mind right. Get focused on the Lord. You quit worrying about what Senator so-and-so and Speaker of the House so-and-so and President. What, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. And the sooner we focus on God and let God get a hold of them, the quicker they'll quit doing what they think they want to do. You with me? And what about at work? And what about right out here in your environment? And everything else? You know, keep your eyes on Him and learn with the discipline of the Spirit in your life, the discipline of thinking, to turn the other cheek, keep quiet, speak out when you need to, or just walk away, but be holy. That's what holiness is. With grace and love, live as God's children. Be set apart to God in everything you do. Be set apart. Realize, God called me to be different. Not goofy, different. God expects me to have some thinking here, to have some discipline, to have some character. God expects me in everything to do, everything, to hold on to Him, to cry out to Him, to let people see that my faith is in Jesus Christ, not the House, not the Senate, not the presidency, nothing. My faith is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's what He wants all to see. It's true. So you fight for it. Your holiness, you fight for it. You don't let anything replace it. You stay set apart. You stay as God's children. You believe as God's children. You come to church and worship as God's children. When you leave here today, remember, you are children of the living God. What does that mean? That means your daddy is the most powerful daddy, and there's no daddy like your daddy. And He's the most loving and giving and forgiving and gracious, and He's the toughest God on the block. That's who we serve. And He is extremely protective over His children, you and me. So be holy as He is holy. Set apart. Let's pray. Then we're going to have Lord's Supper. God, in every heart here, set us apart. Grab a hold, Lord. Take control right now of our thinking. Take control of our emotions. God, we submit them under the blood of Jesus. Take them. Take our past. Covered in the blood of Jesus. Set us free. We're forgiven. We're cleansed. God, help us to look forward to Your grace. To swing for the fence in everything, to think God first, think Your word first, pray Your word. And know when to turn the cheek. Know when to be silent. Know when to speak up and know when to walk away. And in all things and everything, God, give us the power of Your Holy Spirit to live this word, to be holy in everything, as You are holy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to...